All right. Well, we finished out the day here today. Primarily at those comp picks at the end. I think we added some players that hopefully will be competitive on the team. I look forward to working with them. Our staff, Nick did a good job, and his staff did a real good job of researching everything, finding a lot of information. Just scrambling around here at the end on some free agents that weren't drafted. So we had a good process. Scouts worked hard. We got a lot of information, so hopefully have some players that can help our team, and we'll give them an opportunity and see how it goes.
Malcolm Mitchell seems like a really interesting kid, a lot in the field and off. He's got a different set of skills that play inside or outside, it seems, and then off the field he seems like a really impressive kid.
Yes, yeah, solid kid. Yep, absolutely. He's got a good... Got a good story, but it works hard and versatile. It's, be a good player.
Are both he and Cyrus Jones, and actually a few of these guys, how many of them, skill position linebacker guys have special teams relevance? Almost all of them?
We'll see with Malcolm. Cyrus, obviously can return.
When you're making the two trades that you did, are those independent of each other, or are you going up?
Yeah, totally. Yeah, the Miami trade was made, probably an hour before it would even got to those picks, just so that we could plan and they could plan, and then really we were very close to picking, and Seattle kind of came up and made us the offer into next year, so they're very independent. It's just the way it worked out.
When you go up there like that, if you make it so far in advance, you're not really going. Are you going up for one player at that point?
No, absolutely not. Yeah, no. When you're trading back there, I don't think you're trading for a player. You're trading for at least in that particular trade. No, not at all. Just kind of trade for value. Just to either one guy in the fifth or two guys in the sixth. Minus the seventh, but just saying it's really more of a philosophical thing of where you want to be and just kind of spacing it out a little bit.
And was getting into 17 at all part of the one thing you want, we're hoping to do given the assets that you have there?
We can't control any of that. Just do the best we can. Do what we feel like is best for the team when those situations come up. So we can't control what we can't control.
Malcolm talked about working in a pro-style offense. How important is that when evaluating wide receivers?
Yeah, I think anytime you see a guy in college do something that's similar to what we're doing, that helps a little bit. Schottenheimer was down there last year, and obviously, is a very good coach and, runs a pro system. So, some guys do, some guys don't. Took Mason last year from the Georgia Tech offense, which is kind of the other extreme. So, again, you can only control what you can control. And, everybody's looking at the same tape, so we get the same film that the other 31 teams have and same workouts. And you just got to try to figure it out. Sometimes you have better information than others, and especially as many juniors as there are, that's, one less year of information. But it's all the same for everybody, so.
I know his backstory is not the only reason you drafted him, but when you take a look at a prospect like Malcolm, how much does that weigh into the decision making for figuring out whether or not to take
him? Again, each player has their own story or their own, situations that they dealt with. So, but certainly guys that overcome things and have to, deal with the situation, how they deal with it and how they're able to come out of it and where they are. At whatever point you're evaluating them in that process is, I think tells you something about the individual. No question about that.
I know there are a lot of quarterbacks available when you guys picked Jacoby. What separated him from the others?
We just felt like it was the best thing to do for the team at that point. So, he's a good player, good kid. See how it goes.
How much stock with power blocks and stuff like that going into a draft, but it seemed to be an outside consensus that running back might be a position you obviously didn't take one. It was just a situation where, you know, the right guys or value wasn't there when you were on the clock.
Yeah, I guess. Again, you know, you can't control what you can't control, so.
Can you speak to the latest of late-gate decision? I know it's probably the last thing you want to talk about right now.
Yeah, I'll talk about the draft. Good on that. Good.
Bill, I remember a couple of years ago, I think in Arizona, you spoke about Todd Graham's program, and you look at a guy like Lucy and he goes to Arizona State. What does a player show you when he can pick up a new offense and adapt this in really less than a full year, you know, spring practice, but adapt in 1 year and be effective as he was?
Yeah, Bob, I mean, that's a very unusual situation. You very rarely see a player, do what Devin did, transfer within the conference. And of course, he, you know, came back and played, you know, really well against UCLA. And I think there was a relationship that he had with the quarterback, and that certainly benefited him. And he had a good year at Arizona State, you know, better than what he had previously had at UCLA. So, but it's an unusual situation where you have a player like that, go in the same conference, and so you can kind of see him against the same competition, but with a different team and a different offense. So it's, you know. It was interesting, but you know he went down there and had a good year with, like you said, not much practice, not much lead up, it's good for him.
Absolutely, lines not to slight the previous coaches, but with someone like Landon Roberts, who's in a program that goes through a coaching change, and you see him become much more productive. But does that tell you that he takes the coaching well?
Yeah, well, I think, Landon's a very instinctive player. I think you can see that on film. Whatever his measurables are, he plays to him. He plays fast, he plays strong, and he's very productive in terms of being around the ball. And so we'll see how all that translates at our level. But, he seems to be a very instinctive player, you know, smart player, has good awareness, and I guess they can find the ball.
Ted Karras comes from kind of an illustrious family. Did you take that into account and think that maybe that'd be an advantage for him as he comes to the league that he's known to expect?
No.
Bill, on Karras, it seems like now you guys have a lot of depth, in terms of interior offensive linemen. Tooney, it looks like, could play in there if need be, and Karras, and you already had a bunch of guys on the roster. How important is it to have multiple capable bodies, I guess, at that spot in particular where injuries can pile up?
Yeah, well, you can really never have too much depth in this league, or, you know. So we'll see how it goes. But I think, you know, we'll have a good competitive situation there. We have overall, I think, competition on the offensive line. We'll see how it all plays out. Some of those guys play multiple spots. I would say, you know, Karras, Thuney, you know, and then we have a lot of guys that haven't played a lot of spots, you know, including Cooper, you know, Stork, Andrews, Jackson, Mason, even Josh Klein hasn't, you know, been primarily at guard. Our tackles have been primarily at tackle, even though, you know, Cam and Marcus have played at guard briefly. But so having a little more flexibility with some players so that we have some moving parts instead of, again, there was times where we carried eight linemen last year at games, you know, with a center, guard, and tackle as the sixth, seventh, and eighth guys. And, you know, when you don't have that kind of flexibility, it's, you know, has a little bit of impact on the roster.
Well, D.J. Foster from Arizona State indicated on social media that he might be joining this team. You might have already seen him.
Well, that's so, yeah, no, I've been all over. I've been, you know, studying social media all day. So.
Yeah, well, that's where you've seen him.
Yeah, there's nothing I do more than just get on Snapface and, yeah. No, not mine. You've never seen mine.
If you feel comfortable.
Once that happens, then you just sign the paper. Yeah, just sign me out.
Can I ask you about him, even though it hasn't been announced, in terms of?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, we talk to a lot of players, and, you know, I'd say until anything gets official and turned in and the contract signed, all that, which I have no idea, that's an ongoing process. And as you can imagine, there's 32 teams and hundreds of players and agents and fax machines and phone calls and everything. So, you know, sometimes those things get done, sometimes they don't. Sometimes the guy you think you're not going to get, you get. Sometimes the guy you think you're going to get, you don't get. And sometimes you get the guy you think you're going to get, and you lose the guy you think you're going to lose. So we'll just have to see how it all turns out.
You can't trust Twitter.
I haven't seen Snapface or whatever it is, so I don't know. I mean, but regardless of what's on there, you know, we have to go by what the league office, you know, sign contracts or sign contracts.
I wanted to ask you something, too. You're talking just about roster and how many guys you carry on different days. There will be an interesting dynamic that exists as the season goes along with having taken Kobe, where you'll have three quarterbacks, you know, on the roster throughout the season. Do you look at all of the permutations of how that will impact you? It's a long way away, but...
Yeah, that's way too far away. I mean, right now, just with the whole rookie class, I mean, let's see if we can get them, you know, into the locker room, into the meeting rooms, dressed, out on the field, you know, in the huddle, up to the line. I mean, I'd say that's, we got a lot in front of us here.
What is that integration process like for those nine guys, incoming, I guess, in the coming really hours, days, weeks, and I guess months?
Yeah, huge. I mean, they have no idea what they're getting into. It's not their fault. We all had to go through it at one point or another, but, you know, this is be, they're going to get a big dose of what they probably haven't had a whole lot of. Certainly any time recently, and I mean, it's a big load. Competition level is going to step up. The volume is going to step up. You know, it's not a scholarship. You know, college, I can't take them away from you. In NFL, it's, you're fighting for a job, so it's a whole new ball game. Those guys got a lot to absorb, a lot to learn, but just like every other rookie class, they'll get through it. We'll have some ups and downs, but start the process on Thursday night when they come in. And let's be grinding away here for a few weeks.
Do you keep them away from the veteran? I mean, aside from the rookie mini camp that you'll have, or I assume that you still have, do you keep them away from the veterans on the field at all, or do you kind of take your time and mix in them?
No, I mean, the way phase two is set up, we can integrate them into some things. Then there's certainly going to be plenty of times when they're by themselves as a group to go over the things both in and out of football, you know, regarding football and outside of football that they need education on, that they need to, I'd say that they're going to need instruction on and so forth, and that'll certainly be geared to them. But they'll work in with the veteran players in their training and some meetings and on-field work and things like that. So there'll be some of that. And then there obviously there'll be a lot of extra, and then there's all the just transitioning, just coming to a new team from where they've come, wherever it is they're coming from, and, you know, understanding pro football and just the whole transition process. I mean, it's a big, you know, it's a big step for any of us when we do that. So, especially for a lot of these guys that haven't, some of them haven't made that big of a transition. Some have, but some haven't. So,
have you found it harder in recent years to get teams to deal those future picks? When you're, you know, I assume you're calling around saying, would you be willing to do?
I don't know. It's each trade, every draft, every trade's different, so I don't know if there's any set formula or anything.
Bill, did you guys have to change anything philosophically from player evaluation or strategically in terms of how you handle the draft to try and compensate for not having the first-round pick?
No, again, you can control, so what we had, we tried to do the best we could with, and so that's how we approach it, whether it's picking guys or moving positions or trading in the next year or, you know, whatever it was, we just tried to make the most of it. We traded up, we traded down, and we traded into 2017, so I'm not saying it was great or anything, just, you know, we tried to do the best we could, so that's...
I'm not going to be able to quote you word for word, but when you guys drafted Jimmy a couple of years ago, you said something about, you referred to Tom's situation, his contract was coming up eventually. I'm wondering, this year drafting a quarterback, how much did Jimmy's contract situation play into that decision?
I don't know, but I mean, there's always an element of team planning, especially at that position. think you gotta, you know, gotta look. If you can, try to look ahead a little bit. If you can't, then take it as it comes. Things change, so. But you know, there's an element of planning on all in all positions on your team. Certainly that one.
I know we haven't seen you in the last few weeks, but I was wondering if you had any thoughts about the passing of Ron Brace.
Yeah, obviously very sad to hear that. I mean, it's a young man that, died early, so it's always tragic. The fact that he was in our lives, part of our family, gives us a heavier heart. Our thoughts and prayers and sympathy goes out to his family, but it was sad news. Was that last weekend? Yeah. Very obviously unexpected. Sad.
In this quarterback class, were there more options this year maybe in this group that you felt like quality options to look at, or pretty much what you see on the regular?
I don't know. Like, I really don't like sit around and compare draft classes and all that. It's kind of whatever it is. You look at it relative to whatever else there is in that draft and where you are, and like try to do the best you can. So trying to rank this position against that position in some other year, or, I don't know.
How about Kamu? Is he a safety linebacker? We're sort of a hybrid.
He's an interesting player. I mean, he's kind of built like a safety, plays like a linebacker, plays a lot down, in the box as a linebacker would. But physically, he's probably built a little more like a safety. I mean, I think that, part of his value to our team would be in the kicking game, just based on the position that he plays, and then defensively. Like a lot of guys, we're just going to have to figure out exactly what the best fit would be. But I'd say the traits that he has of, being smart, fast, tough, being a good tackler, those things are, that we feel like we'll be able to find a way to, to utilize those. Maybe it's in different packages or certain matchups or situations or whatever it happens to be. But I think he's got some things going for him, but maybe a little less conventional than some other players and other positions.
Is he a guy that you might take a second look at because of the testing numbers?
I think, it really comes down to how the player plays on the field. From a testing standpoint, you want to be aware of how that player physically will match up to your players. Sometimes you see a player that plays well on film, but when you look at him and you look at him physically relative to the other players at your position, and it's just not really very competitive, and that gives you a lot of concern about, he played good, but when we put him up against our guys who are significantly better, then is that really going to translate into good at our level, Maybe, but I'd say a lot of times the answer to that is, we just don't think so. So, I think it's relevant, but, if the guy doesn't play good on film, I mean, there's plenty of guys that go out and, work out and vertical jump and, be a workout warrior and not necessarily be a good football player. But I would say in his case, there's a lot of good football tape to go with it. Eastern Illinois, and it's a school, we closely scrutinize now, get some extra help on that one.
The farm system.
Yeah. Plus, we have a little scouting going on here that maybe most teams don't have that extra set of eyes.
Along those lines, one of the big stories was the bow ring of the German kid. Is that something that's happening, sort of expanding outside the U.S.
It seems like you have a couple guys like that. Every year, the tackle from Manitoba, a little trouble with that pronunciation, but, it's another, unusual story. You get guys like that from time to time. I mean, I don't know if it's, a trend or,
It's not like you're adding a global scout or something.
No, not yet. But I mean, again, because there's really no football outside of the United States, you don't see it. most time they come here to play. But, you know, there are a couple of guys that either don't play or, you know, back, I'd say a decade or so ago, there's a few guys from Australia that, you know, either kicked or were, you know, like Australian rules football player. You know, I mean, the Nate Ebner concept, Nate played at Ohio State, I'm not saying that, but just say if he hadn't, you know, you have that same type of athlete. So there's, you know, I think there's always going to be a little of that. Basketball guys that don't play football or, you know.
So knowing that you're always evaluating the roster, depending on how many free agents you bring in, you could exceed the limit and have to let some guys go. So how do you evaluate that part of the equation this weekend, kind of balancing who's already in place with who you want to bring in, whether it's a draft choice or a draft intent?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think that's, I mean, it's a good question. I think on Monday's waiver wire, you're going to see a lot of players on it throughout the league because of players that were drafted or acquired, free agents, whatever it happens to be, that other transactions will offset those or be part of the process. So we'll just have to, you know, see how all that plays out. I mean, it's definitely a little bit of juggling there. And I'd say the main thing for me would be, you know, with the player, that if circumstances change to the point where you don't really feel like you can give that player a fair opportunity, then it's in your best interest and in his best interest to move on and let him, you know, find a better opportunity for somewhere else. So that's not, I'd say, an infrequent situation that comes up. I mean, it's not going to be 20 guys, but, you know, if there's a player that's, you know, going to end up getting stacked behind a few guys and you're not going to be able to really, you know, give them the opportunity that maybe you thought you would at a different point in time, then when things change, you know, I think the player appreciates that, you know, rather than go through training camp and then get halfway through camp and, you know, see what maybe is already evident now, that makes it a lot easier for him to try to, you know, find a better opportunity. So when that's the case, that's usually how we try to approach it. But I think league-wide, you're going to see that. I mean, it's not us. It's, you know, you'll see it from a lot of teams. There'll be, and you'll probably see some guys who are not with the team now go to a team based on the team not being able to maybe acquire a certain position or a certain need in the draft, and then look into a veteran player who's unsigned to, you know, possibly fill that spot or compete for it.
Does his arm length make him a better fit on the inside?
Maybe. I mean, he's played both. You know, he was gonna start at center. I think it was his sophomore year, so he's actually played in there, but not so much in the games. But he did that. You know, it was a discussion kind of had with Light too. You know, we drafted Light. We thought, you know, worried a little bit about his length. You know, my wisdom, you know, try to put him a right tackle, try to play him a guard. I mean, it was brutal. Couldn't do anything. So we played him back a left tackle and he had a great career. So, you know, I don't know if it's – yeah, he's going to be on the shorter end of that relative to left tackles. I mean, you know, Mankins, we played him at left tackle for, you know, a couple games. It was a similar situation with him. Left tackle at Fresno, put him inside. There were points in his career where he went out and played left tackle, played it pretty good, so – could he have played left tackle? Probably, you know, just didn't work out that way. So, I mean, we'll see. You know, it's a little different in this league than it is in college, but, you know, a lot of these guys are maybe don't meet the dimensions, but they're still good football players one way or another. So, we'll see.
Going back to Hill, it seems like in the league that's become a trend, like, so that Deion Buchanan type hybrid thing. Is that something new? I know you would drop Rodney down like 2007 against Indianapolis. Is that something new, or is it just new to us? You know, it's something that's old that's come back and is new again.
I think you're definitely seeing a strong trend in the league towards corners that play safety, or corner type athletes that play safety, or bigger safeties that play linebacker. I mean, however you want to, like, both of those are trends. You know, we've always put a lot of, you know, premium on the passing game, and even going back to when we had Eugene Wilson, you know, who played corner at Illinois and started at corner for us for a couple weeks, and then we moved him to free safety, but that was an advantage because then when teams went to the multiple receivers, then we already had that third corner on the field, and we, you know, could go to nickel or we could leave our regular defense out there and just play our third corner on the third receiver, you know, what we call a penny defense, but things like that. And so that was really, I'd say, pretty successful for us. Devin's given us some of that. So is Chung. You know, not that either one of them are, well, Devin's a corner, but not that Chung's a corner, but he has corner qualities, and he's played some corner-type responsibilities, particularly in the slot, even going back to, you know, when Wes was here. And, you know, he would cover Wes pretty competitively, you know, in practice sessions and things like that. So I'd say that's always been, you know, something that's, if you have a player that can do that, you know, somewhat appealing. Because the other problem is if you get, you know, mismatched on with a, you know, receiver against a safety who's not a very good coverage player, I mean, I could blow up in a hurry. You know, Rodney was a guy that you mentioned that was a very good coverage safety, even though he was a big physical, you know, could play the run as well as anybody. He also could cover very well, and that's, you know, very unusual. It's what made him so special. You could literally match him up on anybody, receivers, tight ends, you know, blitz him, play the run on goal line. I mean, he could do it all. He was, you know, tremendous. But I'd say, yeah, as the offenses have gotten more spread out, as the offenses have put more skilled players on the field, as the tight ends have become more athletic and less of the conventional kind of, you know, power blocking type guys, you know, those matchups keep getting tougher and tougher. So there's, I'd say, definitely a movement towards safeties that can play corner or have some corner-like qualities to them, which, again, that extends down to the linebacker level as well. You see less of the, you know, the big run-stopping, you know, Ted Johnson, Brandon Spikes-type players. It's just harder than when the offense spreads you out. And then when they go fast and you can't substitute and you're stuck with whoever you have out there, you know, that creates some problems too. And the colleges are seeing the same thing, so they have to deal with it probably more than we do because of so many fast tempo offenses. So they, you know, they're in the same boat. So they're playing a lot of what you want to call dime defense or little nickel or whatever it is, but where they're putting a lot of fast guys on the field. Ends are playing tackle. Safeties are playing linebacker. You know, corners are playing safety. It's just, you know, kind of getting a little bit smaller. In a lot of areas, you know, so I don't know if that's different or, I mean, there are some differences, but again, going back to like Wilson and Harrison and those guys from, you know, 02, 03, 04 back in there, you know, there's a lot of similarities to the Chung Harrison. I mean, Chung McCourty, you know, corner safety types that had more coverage ability than, you know, some other guys that you would see out there. So.
I'm just interested in a follow-up on the Tooney question, and not maybe not him, but sort of general, in the unknown. You always say you don't know what you're going to have with a player until you get really a chance to work with him, put him on the field. Is that as much about an opportunity for the player, the chemistry, or what can the unknown kind of encapsulate in terms of, you know, a player being able to define what position is best suited for him and the team when you do get a chance to work with him? Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, right, but I mean, I think each situation is different. I mean, you can, you know, you can change jobs and you're still doing the same job, but it's different working for a different, you know, organization. So what we do, what we ask our guys to do in different positions is going to be different than what somebody else asks them to do. I think that's just inherent, and whether it's our style of play or the timing of the passing game, let's just say, for an offensive lineman is different for us than it might be with another team. The running game might be a little bit different than it was. Like, it's definitely different than what they did to NC State. I mean, that I know for sure. But regardless, you know, there are some, you know, I'd say some changes that are just different, and that's just part of going to a different team. And some players adapt to those easily. Some of them have new techniques. Some of those favor the player's move. Some of them sometimes maybe aren't as good as what the system they were in before. You know, that happens too sometimes. So those things are always hard to predict. I, you know, until you have a player and actually work with them in your system, you know, some players play multiple positions in another system. But then when you try to do that with a guy in your system, it doesn't work out as well for whatever the reasons are. I don't know. But, you know, maybe it's just whatever you're asking them to do, the processing, the nomenclature. I mean, I don't know. Sometimes it works out good. Sometimes it doesn't. But until you actually get them in that, I don't think you actually know exactly how it's going to go. Or maybe a guy does well with one thing, but he kind of isn't as comfortable doing something else. So sometimes it takes a while to figure that out. Some guys aren't asked to do a lot, and then once they're asked to, you know, the Mike Vrabels of the world, you know, played linebacker at Pittsburgh, and then here he played, you know, run around at free safety in practice, played offense, played defensive end, played linebacker, played inside linebacker. You know, he embraced it and kind of opened things up for him. But, you know, that's not always the case with everybody. So it's, I think it's really hard to know that for sure. Now, look, if the guy's played multiple positions in college, let's just say, or with another team, well, it at least gives you some idea that he can do it. And, you know, you can evaluate how he's doing it, but it's not always the same when you do it, even though it looks the same on paper. It's not quite the same. Teamwork, a lot of teamwork's involved. You know, I'd say, like, look, shortstop. Right? I mean, the bases are the same. You line up the same place. You know, it's shortstop. You start getting out there with, you know, 10 other guys against another 11 guys, and they're all moving at once and all that. I mean, there's a lot of things involved there, so it's a little bit different. Anything else, Bob? We got any more? Tom?
You made some noises like he was going to ask something else, and here it comes.
I thought you had another, like, instant face question, like, teed up for me.
Don't have to, but Raymond Claiborne, Kevin Falk, Mike Vrabel, Patriots Hall of Fame.
This is a little transcript person gets killed.
All good. Yeah, all really good. I mean, Claiborne, amazing. You know, Vrabel, Falk, I mean, and then there's, like, I mean, there's another 10 guys we could name, too, that could easily be considered, like Harrison, starting with that, Parcells. I mean, you start throwing names out here. There's a lot of guys that, you know, could easily be under consideration and be very worthy Hall of Famers, and they probably will be someday. So,
do you have any reaction to Kevin's choice of attire last night?
Love Kevin. Okay. He always makes good decisions. Yeah, looks sharp out there. Lawyer Malloy, you know, turned in the Seahawks pick. I mean, come on. That's all good. It's all good. It's good. It's good to see those guys, you know, kind of back in the flow. Some of them you haven't seen, and, you know, guys from other teams you've coached against. Or, yeah, Richard, sure. We'll see a bunch of those guys this year because that's our, what is it, 15 years, right? Yeah, so I know a lot of those guys are. Yeah, Stacy organizing that. You get the brunt of that? Well, I'm not sure they'll come back and do something. I can't imagine. 15 years, that's, you know, it's a pretty good group there. So, yeah. All right. Okay. Yep, we'll see you later.